It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
The Bible tells us that New Jerusalem will come down. This is going to happen in eternity. And we're studying eternity, the ninth dispensation. As we look at New Jerusalem coming down and we see the immenseness of this city, we see that it is immense. We see that it is 1,500 miles north, south, east, and west, and up. See, the length, the breadth, and the height are the same, 1,500 miles each way. And we see that there are 12 gates with the 12 names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, the city itself is going to be so beautiful that we can only imagine as we look into the Word of God, as God tells us about the beauty of this city. We read about this in Revelation 21, and we're going to read that in just a moment. The New Jerusalem, the city, according to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 18, it's going to be pure gold. It says, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And we also see that the street, pure gold. Revelation 21, once again, the rest of that verse says, and 12 gates were there, or 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. Now notice, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it was transparent. Now man today will try to get gold into the purest state that it can be brought into, but it does not compare this gold today that man tries to bring into the apparent cleanness, purity. Man does the best he can to get this gold as pure as he can, but it's not going to be, and it's not as pure as the streets of gold will be in the New Jerusalem. You see, God typifies the righteousness by gold. God is typified, His righteousness is typified by gold, and the city contains only righteousness. No sin will be found, only purity. Well, notice the 12 gates that are going to be in the city. Revelation 21, verses 12 and 13, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. 12 gates. And there are 3 gates on each of the 4 sides of the city. The 4 walls have 3 gates, 3 on the east, west, north, and south. And there are 12 gates with 3 on a side. Therefore, there should be a gate approximately every 500 miles. Can you believe that? Every 500 miles. When each gate is the name of one of the 12 tribes. Now, there's an angel beside each of the 12 gates. And I believe the angels are guardians. Guardians for what I do not know, since there will be no sin. And possibly they are simply positioned there to do as their title indicates, to be messengers. And that's what the word angel means, messenger. Well, on each of the 12 gates are the 12 tribes, and the angel will be there. The gates are 12 pearls, one pearl for each gate. Can you imagine that, the size of that pearl, the size of that oyster? Well, Revelation chapter 21, at verse 21 again says, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several of them, that means separate gate, was of one pearl. Well, since the walls are 216 feet thick, We look in Revelation 21, verse 17 and find that out. The gates could possibly be 216 feet in height, width, and depth. And of course, they will retain their spherical shapes. And note this, the size I have given for each gate is only my thought. But it's going to be immense. Now notice there are also 12 foundations. Revelation chapter 21, verse 14 says, "And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." And we keep reading in verses 19 and 20 of Revelation 21, where it says, "And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysophthus," that word's hard for me to say, "the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst." Now the description of the city includes the foundation consisting of these 12 stones, and these foundation stones are nearly identical to the stones worn by the high priest as he would minister before the Lord. We read about this in the Old Testament. The priest would wear a breastplate with 12 precious stones, each matched with a name of the tribe of Israel. Now, I would recommend that you compare Revelation chapter 21, verses 19 and 20, with Exodus chapter 28, verses 15 through 21, to see the comparison here about the priest and what that priest wore. Well, not only do we see the gates and the immenseness of the city, the New Jerusalem, but there's also going to be a temple. There's not going to be a man-made temple, according to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 22, where it says, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." It's not going to be man-made. The Lord God Himself is going to be the temple. The Lamb, the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Inside the city, there is no man-made temple, because God the Father and the Lamb dwell inside the city. God is the temple. And we see that God the Father and the Lamb, in Revelation 21, 22, we see that that is not something that we just think about that's going to happen. It's going to happen because God said it. New Jerusalem. Revelation 21, 23, and it says, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." Well, the sun and the moon are not needed in the city. God's glory and the Lamb provide light for the city. And notice this, the verse that I've read does not say there is no sun or moon for the rest of the earth. It says that there's no need of it in the city. Well, what else is going to take place? What else will be there? What will not be there as we look into eternity? Well, there's no sin in eternity. No sin anywhere. The Bible answers this. No sin allowed in eternity. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13 says, "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity." This is speaking of God, of course. Revelation 22, 3, it says, "And there shall be no more curse." Romans chapter 8 and verse 22, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." We see in Romans, Paul is speaking, I believe, of his present and our present. Everyone and everything created is waiting for the future when all things will be new. All of God's creation, including us, as seen in the next verse. When I say us, I'm speaking of humans. As we see in the next verses, is everything is travailing like a woman about to deliver a child. And our delivery into the indescribable new heaven and new earth will be a blessed event with our Heavenly Father in the waiting room of glory to view the glorious event. Now remember, you and I will already be there. That is, those of us who have trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. But there will be human beings in eternity. And some people just don't realize that. And I compare Scripture with Scripture, and I see human beings living on the earth. Romans chapter 8 and verse 23 says, "And not only they," and that's everything, "but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." You see, our bodies are going to be changed. Those of us who are saved right now, our bodies will be changed. And that will mean the redemption is complete. Now, it's just as it's already happened in the eyes of God, and we need to realize that we're just waiting for this body change to take place. And it's going to happen one way or the other. And I'm looking forward to Jesus coming back in the clouds and saying, "Come up hither," the rapture of the church. But you know, if that doesn't happen, I have nothing to fear. If the breath of life leaves this body, then I will be with the Lord. I think it's going to be somewhat of the same as the Lord saying, "Come up hither." I believe that when the breath leaves my body, I believe it's as though God is going to say, and Jesus will say to me, "Come up hither." And I'll go to be with him forever and ever. And you will too if you've trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you've not trusted him, why not? Why not receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? He loves you, and he wants to save you. He came and gave his life for each person in this world. And what they have to do is simply say, "Lord, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I'm sorry for my sin. Please forgive me. I'm going to go your way from now on, Lord, because that's the only way to heaven." If you'll pray a prayer like that, and the Bible uses the word repent. Repent means to have a change of mind, willing to go God's way instead of your way, understanding that you are a sinner and you're in need of a Savior. And Jesus Christ is that Savior. And he's waiting for you right now to call upon him and ask forgiveness of your sin and tell him that you're ready to go his way. "Lord, forgive me. I want to go your way, and your way leads to heaven." If you'll pray a prayer and ask Jesus to save you, the prayer won't save you. It's Jesus who saves you. But he wants to hear you say it, that you're ready for him to save you. Well, who's going to be in eternity? Only saved people are allowed in the New Jerusalem. Revelation 21:24 says, "And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it." You see, all who enter the city of New Jerusalem, including the kings of the earth, yes, there will be kings of the earth. They're included in this, those who are saved. How do I know? Revelation 21, verse 27 says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." All humans, you see, in eternity will have their names written in the Lamb's book of life. Do you have your name written there? Call upon him today. Ask Jesus into your heart today. Receive him as your Lord and your Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.